David, how are you?
I'm good, brother. How about yourself, Bill?
David, listen, as I always say, I could complain, but nobody listening any better. I'd be twins. It's I've got the greatest life, and I am so stoked to be. I have to, Dave, for our listeners, the one and only David Cassidy is here.
Finish the sentence, Bill.
Yeah, I can't. I can't. I've got my ADD kicks in. By the way, David.
Yeah, mine too. By the way, clinically diagnosed.
Oh yeah, yeah. But see, when you and I were kids, when we were kids, it wasn't ADD. You were just a go getter. You know, you were just energetic.
No, what you were was stupid.
Hey, that's a whole different category.
You were born in the 1950s.
Yeah.
In the 50s, what they looked at you like, I can remember the vice principal of my grammar school saying, unfortunately, David, you're an underachiever. And man...
Yeah, how do you recover from
right.
that?
Anyway,
I think he proved him wrong.
Yeah. Hey, David. By the way, sitting with me is my lovely bride, Gail, and has been a long time fan. In fact, last night she was sound asleep, and I woke up because I heard this noise.
Don't tell me the details, Bill. Please.
She was humming "I Think I Love You." So I don't know what's going on.
I
here.
Love that. Thank you, Gail.
You're welcome.
That's beautiful.
Well, first
of all, I'm serious when I tell you that. Oh, man, it's such a blessing. No.
Dude, it is.
Everybody uses that word. I'm so grateful that people love that song. It's like an anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And everywhere I go all over the world, yeah, it was the biggest song of 70, 71. And it's followed me, and I'm very grateful for it. I really am, and I've been playing it now. It's the only song I think I never took out of my set because I've been playing live. Forget about the 70s or the 80s or the 90s. I'm talking about since 2001, the beginning of 2001, I've never not sung that song. And it's a beautiful, extraordinarily wonderful thing for me to know that so many people... Even like 6, 7, 8 year old kids come up to me now, like, you know, in the last year or two. And, you know, it's so great that they know all the lyrics.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, they tug on me and go, "Hey, David, I'm thinking and right in the middle of a dream, like, oh, it's what I wake up, you know." It's kind of like that, you know?
David, would you say it's your bye-bye Miss American Pie?
I would have to say that. Well, no, because I sold almost 30 million records.
Right.
It wasn't like I was a one-hit wonder.
No, but is there? I guess my point was, and Gail was going to ask this question, is there a song that you've done that you know you got to play it even though you may not want
to? That's it.
That's it.
That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've added and taken away, and I change my sets all the time.
Right.
But I love to play live. And apparently, and I recently just learned this, like in the last month, because we've been out, my band and I, who have been with me 15 years, at least the core of the band, bassist and guitar player and keyboard player, have been with me now for many, many, many years. We've toured all over the world. And as much as I love the fact that I've been able to do film and be on Broadway 3 times and, you know,
yeah, you've had a
do
pretty good
all
career.
The stuff I did in Vegas, I seriously love to play and sing live and play my hits for people and also take people kind of on a musical journey of my life, which is really diversified. But we're talking today because I've made my very first solo Christmas album.
I was going to ask if this was
a CD, EP in the last 150 years. Never before.
Now, what made you want to do a Christmas record, Dave?
Well, a lot of people have requested it, and when I was a little boy, I was brought up very, very Christian religious.
Right.
From the time I was 5 till I was 12, I went to church twice a week, and I had to go to Bible school after school. Seriously.
I did, too. I started laughing at Bible class. Yeah, I remember that.
No, I had to do that. So I went there. My grandparents were really my parents for those 6 years of your, you know,
right.
I guess, forming your personality and your, you know, psychosis and all the rest of it.
Right.
But they were such amazing, loving, religious people. I couldn't let them down. And although I wasn't really crazy about going to church that many times, I was a soloist in the choir. You know, we had something that they used to call Glee Club.
Yeah.
In school.
I remember Glee Club. Yeah.
Yeah, now it's called Chorus.
Yeah.
Because nobody's really Glee. Right?
Yeah.
My son was like the soloist in the Chorus.
Right, not the Glee Club, Dad.
Yeah, not Glee Club. Nobody's ever heard of Glee Club if you're under, like, 30, I think.
I think you're right.
Anyway, go to David Cassidy Music or
DavidCassidy.com.
Or go to iTunes, even better. You know, it's right there. And I have an original song that only I have recorded.
Right.
And I think it's the best Christmas song for me.
Tell me why you think
that. And a lot of my fans have already said it's my favorite Christmas song of all time. There's no question, the Christmas song by Nat Cole.
Right. That's a classic.
It is it for me. You know,
right.
His voice is so remarkable. His talent is so remarkable. But do you know who wrote that song? Chestnuts Roasting on an Open Fire, that one?
It wasn't Nat
Mel Tormé.
Mel Tormé did?
Huh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable, isn't it?
And it's one that is Christmas. I mean,
yeah,
that is, you hear that song, that is Christmas.
That's it,
right.
Baby. And,
right.
And you can't, I couldn't do it. Nobody could do justice to it. When Nat King Cole sings it, you can't. You can't compete.
No,
with it.
No, yeah. There's ones you shouldn't do.
It's an impossible thing. There are a few like that. Anyway, it's my very first Christmas Endeavor recording, and I've been asked for 30 years or so, please, please record a Christmas album at the time. And it's on iTunes now, as of last week.
Now, what's the name of the album, Dave?
It's David Cassidy.
Just David Cassidy Christmas? All right. All right, so David, let me ask you this, because Gail's got a couple questions she wants to ask you.
I'd love to talk with Gail.
I'm not going to try to guess her question. I'm just going to let her ask her questions.
Well, first, did you choose the songs for the album?
My favorite, and also my extraordinarily special feeling about the man who wrote my Christmas card to you became my very dear friend when I was like 20 years old. And he said, his name is Tony Romeo, and he wrote 4 or 5 of my favorite songs that I ever recorded when I was in the Parks family, and also for me in my solo work. But he wrote this song for me, because he never played the guitar, and there's a lyric in there. I got my guitar right before me, singing it. Anyway, I won't go through the lyric, but it's a magnificent song. No, it is.
I'm sure it is.
And is this the one you were saying was your favorite?
Yeah, it's called My Christmas Card to You, and I really think it's one of the, I don't know, 5, 10 best Christmas songs I have ever heard. But all the rest are all songs that I have a connection to, which is truly probably why everybody relates to Christmas from the time they were kids, and the music they heard,
mm-hmm.
and the environment they were with. Most of the United States, at least, we get together with family, and we remember what it was like when you would go under the tree and open a present when you were like 5, 6, 7 years old or whatever. And everything has a lasting, you know, seared, implanted in your brain memory that you'll never forget. And it's Christmas is very nostalgic, I think. And the music has a lot to do with that.
We just said that earlier. Before you came on, we said that Christmas for us is about, I mean, we have the reason, but it really, the music is what is the glue for me for Christmas.
I agree. And I think most people would agree and say, you know, it's about family. It's about all of us celebrating and, you know, coming from different places in the world as our lives have moved on. But it's really about the celebration of the childhood in all of us still that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's such an extraordinary time. There's nothing else like it.
No.
My favorite holiday, and don't ask me why. Actually, I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Because I'm, even though I grew up in New York and New Jersey, right outside of New York City, until I was 11, I grew up in cold weather, and I've moved back to New York a few times, and I had a house in Connecticut. So I've been through a lot of winters. I can't go through another winter in the Northeast. No, I can't.
I hear you.
Although my heart is still there.
Right.
But I live in South Florida because my body, my skin, and everything else, I cannot shovel any more snow. I can't, you know, grate ice off of my windshield anymore.
Right,
at,
right.
Like 7 in the morning with a, you know, I don't know, a chisel.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just very, very
well, you got to go where you
lightweight
gotta,
now.
Yeah, you want to end up where you're comfortable and where you know.
I live in South Florida, and it's paradise here. It's really beautiful, and I very much love it. I've been here for 15 years, so I intend to stay here, but I travel so much.
Well, yeah, you're like basically, it's your base.
Yeah, it's my base. Exactly right. And now that I've chosen pretty much to stay out of Hollywood and L.A., I've done hundreds and hundreds of television and film. And although I've done 3 Broadway shows, I don't want to do 8 shows a week anymore. I want to just, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like you have to devote your entire life to it and your lifestyle. I'd have to go on vocal silence. It's not.
Yeah. So, David, that kind of dovetails into something I wanted to ask you. At the peak of your career when you were younger.
Yeah.
Were you?
Very younger.
Yeah, very younger. Gail had a great question that was.
I don't know. I asked
She said, was there a time at the peak of when you were with the Partridge Family and everything's going on? By the way, remind me, because I got a great story about your stepmother, Shirley. At the peak of your career, was there ever a time that you looked around and it was frightening? Like you were scared,
many times.
I'm sure with the mania that was going on.
Because it was David Cassidy, Partridge Family mania.
Very, very dangerous for my fans and also for me. And
I mean, could you even go out?
No. I had about, I don't know, my closest friends were like 4 or 5 people.
Right.
Who would basically kind of protect me, not as security people.
Right.
But would go, we need to get out of here.
Yeah.
This is not cool. I'd stay in the car. They'd go in. They'd go, I don't think so. Or they would say, yeah, we could do this. And, you know, there'd usually be 3 or 4 of us all together. Sometimes all of us. I mean, when we're on tour, never go out.
No.
Never. No. If you were in town and everybody knew you were in town, or in the country, like when you go to New Zealand or Australia or, you know, Hong Kong or Tokyo, you know, you don't go out.
Well, you're a teenager. This is a whole nother, I mean, this is a world that you went.
Well, I'm actually in my early 20s by that time. I mean, I'm talking internationally. I would think I was 24, 25. And I had just finished the past year doing the Partridge Family, and I'd finished recording in terms of the Partridge Family, but I was still doing my own solo stuff.
Right, right.
Which were really successful, by the way, but I digress. It doesn't matter. I can only tell you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was scary.
Well, now, was there, when you're a teen idol, and you know, I say, you know, the, like, and, yeah. and when you were there with Donnie and the.
No.
Was there competition?
No. Well, I mean,
there's only one David Cassidy. Come on.
Well, I had the largest fan club in the history of the planet. And,
by the way, bigger
than
Elvis and the Beatles. That's amazing.
This is true. In the mid-70s, as much as I really respect Donnie's talent, and he was gigantically successful.
Right.
He doesn't hold that moniker. And as much as I really believe, I mean, he has a lot of fans, and with his sister, the two of them are fantastic together.
Right.
And I don't have that. I'm just a solo artist.
Yeah, you don't, you're just
now,
by yourself, yeah.
Yeah, I am, and I always have been. I never played, like, with another act or another, I don't know. It's hard to even explain.
By the way, you have the best hair ever. I used to, like, beg for your hair. Yeah, that blown back look. Oh, God. I used to just look at it and go,
yeah, but
this ain't fair.
I didn't do it, though. That's what people are mistaken.
I know. It was natural, and that's what sucks even more.
No, I didn't do it. It was put on me. I had the hair to do it with, but
right.
I had
Oh,
amazing,
I see what you're saying. I see, yeah.
An amazing hairstylist that Screen Gems Columbia Pictures sent me to, who was brilliant, and he created it. In the end, Jane Fonda went there, a whole bunch of celebrities.
Farrah was there.
Stars and people. And he would tell me every 3 or 4 weeks, whenever I'd go in and, you know, get it trimmed a little bit, which happened less and less frequently as it went down my back in the end. It was
We don't have to read
it. No.
I had to live it every day.
No. But he would tell me. People with, like, no hair or really, really curly hair would say, hey, can you give me that David Cassidy haircut? And he'd look at them, like, and cock his head like the RCA dog used to do.
Yeah.
And go, don't think that's going to happen. So, anyway, it was kind of funny because I talked about him. His name was, well, his public name was Jeffrey Spirit, and a wonderful guy, a terrific human being.
What a great Hollywood hairdresser named Jeffrey Spirit. I am Jeffrey Spirit.
Yeah, no, in the 70s, absolutely right.
Yeah.
And really good guy, and he was the one who created that.
Wow, okay,
that
good.
Look.
At least I didn't know you weren't just, like, born with that hair like that, because...
No, hell no. No,
thanks,
I had the hair. I had the hair, but he put the whole thing on me.
Right.
And watch the first half a year of the Parks Family, which is, by the way, not that great. And I certainly wasn't great.
You're killing me.
No, stop. No, I'm just telling you the truth.
No, that's why I love.
Only the truth, Bill.
I love that.
Yeah, well, I do.
You had a lot of fans that would disagree.
No, I just speak the truth. I mean,
well, you get better at anything you do it if you do it.
I had nothing to do with it.
Right.
I just walked in.
Here's my life. Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously. Here's my hair.
Here's my life. Shoot what you want. Hey, let me get my personal David Cassidy lunchbox, and then
yeah. There you go.
Hey, listen.
By the way, the Parsons Family lunchbox is in the Smithsonian.
I don't doubt it, dude.
It should be.
It's the largest selling lunchbox in history.
Yeah. Hey,
which is weird.
Let me ask you.
If you had the thermos, oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah, the thermos is the key.
The thermos.
I just wanted the bus.
Yeah, the bus. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that should have been, but unfortunately...
I'm glad I don't have a manager that shows up at my house every day, though.
They gave it away to hippies.
Oh, man.
Literally.
Really?
They gave it away to hippies.
Ugh.
They didn't even, like, think, this is kind of iconic, don't you think? No.
The thing I loved the best about that bus was they didn't put beds or nothing in it.
I mean, I think they got a couple of $100, maybe $1,000 for it. And these hippies lived in it.
Wow.
Surely.
Literally. I'm not making this up. And at one point, it was parked next to, in Los Angeles, next to the 405 freeway, many people told me that they had seen it.
Still painted and everything?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Obviously, after like 10 years, it was kind of faded.
Right.
But yeah, still the same. They called it. No, I'm not lying.
I love that. Care.
Bill, Gail, I promise you.
I would love to have seen it.
We'd had to stop. We would have had to stop the car and take a picture.
A lot of people did. They got off at the next exit so they could come back and see it. It was next to, I think it was in like a parking lot down by Torrance or somewhere.
God.
I can't remember. I mean, you know, it's like in the mid-'80s.
Well, listen, buddy, I gotta wrap, as much as I would love to sit here and chat for hours, I need to come to South Florida so we can just visit.
I'd love to do that, man.
Everybody, it's David Cassidy Christmas.
And all the people who are listening to me, forgive me for cutting you off.
Oh, no, that's right. It's your show.
I'd love to chat with you again, but I hope people go to iTunes and go for David Cassidy's Christmas.
I'm sure they will.
Hopefully you'll love it.
Absolutely.
Hopefully you'll love it.
Well, listen, buddy, love to your family. Hope you have a Merry Christmas, and keep the music coming, because you got a lot of fans out there,
thanks,
including
buddy.
These two right here. There you go, folks. That's David Cassidy right there. That's one of those things you go, what?